God bless you, saints. I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to continue with our thoughts on there was no open vision. Yesterday, we ended with knowing the responsibility that we as leaders in the gospel have been given by God to make sure that God's word does not suffer reproach. Now, if we can go back, maybe we can read our text again, the book of First Samuel 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, sometimes when such a statement is given, people wonder why it is so. Yet we see churches all over, we see conventions all over, we see ministers moving from one place to the other, we see Pentecostalism being on fire, as they say. It may look like it's a far-fetched statement, but you know, when you look at the condition that we have been placed in today, and we have been watching the way things have been taking place, surely we need God's mercy. Eli, the Bible says, had fattened up from the offerings of the temple. And I want to say that, brethren, we have the same problem today of people, ministers, having little concern about the souls of the congregation. And the situation is dire. It's dire, brethren, particularly in the message circles. The situation surely is dire. Because as they see that the word was rare, I say it may sound a bit weird. How is the word rare? Yet we have all these groups, we have all these message churches, we have all these. You see, there's a time we were in a meeting of a Voice of God meeting in Nairobi, and you know, we were about 3,000 ministers. Yet when we come to the ground, look at what happened in the times of Eli. The situation was not as it was, because it is a time when the Philistines fought against Eli. I mean, against the Israelites. And the Israelites were so defeated, so beaten, that when Eli heard what had happened, you see, he fell off from the chair and broke his neck and died. And you see, this after the prophecy, you know, we can go back a bit. Let me just hold that in a bit. We go back to where, you know, the man of God is sent to Eli. And he tells him that because of the way he has lifted his children above the word of God, God was going to take the ministry away from his house. He had said it would remain there, the priest would remain there forever. But because of how he has carried himself, because of the way he behaved himself, This God was so much displeased that he had to take away the priesthood from Eli's house, and that his children were going to die. You know, look at this condition. Samuel is a young boy in the hands of Eli. He's ministering under Eli, and he could not recognize the voice of God. Eli himself, you know, the voice of God has overstepped him. Go to Samuel, speak to Samuel. And because the Bible says Samuel had not known the word of the Lord, he depended on his minister, or his pastor for that matter, or his father of faith for that matter, who would direct him, who would show him, who was supposed to have also had a revelation of what was going on. But Eli was a sleeping minister. And God speaks to Samuel. And when he runs to Eli, Eli says, no, go and sleep again. He's called again. He runs to Eli. He to not go back. When he goes the third time, now Eli realized that this must be a supernatural visitation. And he told him to respond directly that, here I am, your servant, speak. And when God speaks to Samuel, he tells Samuel that that is in the third chapter, verse 10. And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. That's God speaking. It is a sad situation. It was a sad situation. Because he says this, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. That's what I was saying yesterday, that we as leaders are responsible. And brethren, let's not try to deviate from the biblical principles of the word of God. Because God will never, and I repeat again, lower his standards. Let's not deviate from the statutes that have been placed before us by God. Because God will never deviate from the word of God. And I want to echo this, that God has not called us to be popular. God has called us to be his servants. God has called us to be his vessels that he's going to use to reach his church. And you, brethren, you hear us, you church, don't be excited by giving a message that looks tantalizing, you know, that looks nice in the face value. Don't look at that message that is, it looks like it is favoring you, or it's understanding the condition, that is trying to twist the scriptures so that the gospel doesn't look hard, doesn't look sharp. Don't be excited by that. Let us be sincere in our hearts and look at the saints of old, how they lived, how they followed the scriptures. I'm saying this with a lot of concern, because we have realized, I have come to realize that, you know, when the gospel is preached in its reality. So many of us have stumbled and because we think that this being radical, that is being too strict. But I want to ask, God, when he told Samuel, I will do a thing in Israel, that those who will hear it, their ears will tingle. And I want to listen, you to listen to this. When the Philistines came and fought, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken, and the messenger ran to Eli. That is chapter 4, verse 17. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there has been also a great slaughter among the people, and the two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. Who has taken the ark of God? The enemies. Where is the presence of God now? To Israel by that time, where is the presence of God? Because the act of God moved, the presence of God moved in the ark of, with the ark of God. So once the ark of God was taken away from them, where was the presence of God? When God, when Eli or Eli was trying, just excuse my pronunciation, so either Eli or Eli, depends on, it's very important. But when he was trying to tantalize his sons, despite what was happening in the temple, when he was trying to understand the conditions, little did he know that he was making his God furious, because God was looking at him and he couldn't see he couldn't see Eli performing the duties, the responsibilities that was expected of him from God. And therefore, when this time comes, and about 34, I think it was 34,000, 30,000 footmen fell. 30,000. Israelites were killed in one day by the Philistines. When God had that, when Eli had that, when the messenger came and told him that, and how even his son Hophni and Phinehas had been killed, the Bible says, and it came to pass when he made the mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. His judgment was to come. He had been there 40 years, but he had one thing that really struck him so hard. He had not known that it would come to this level. He had not known that it would come to this ground. But when it happened, and all these things happened and took place, it was so hard for Eli, for he knew that now the power of God had departed. That whole thing had departed. The ark of God had departed, the presence of God had gone. And brethren, let me tell you something. I'll come to that least part of it as we continue. But for today, when the word of God has departed and people are left religious, there is always that convicting Press. I'm not convicting. There's that comforting essence that we still have God in our midst when He is actually God. And because you look popular from others, and because others, you will hear others say something, and it will be like, "Oh, we are preaching the gospel. We are preaching the message. Everyone is doing it." But you realize that as much as that is being done, people are living a defeated life, a miserable life. Christians who have no boldness. Christians who have no strength. Christians who think that when something is corrected, you are being hard on somebody. Brethren, I want to say that God wants people who are responsible for this word and who are standing firmly on it without compromising, without selling their faith. And God have mercy on us that we may know what we are supposed to follow, what we are supposed to be, what we are supposed as children of God expected to perform. It's our responsibility, brethren. You know, when Eli had that, he broke. And when his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered, and when she had the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast born a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. The glory," he said, "the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Brethren, so many conditions, so many situations in our fellowships, in our lives, are indicating that the glory of God has departed, and yet it doesn't seem like it's a big thing. I'll tell you, it is. I'm saying this with heaviness of heart, that men of God, of ministers of the gospel, have sold themselves to the worldly pleasures, to popularity, as we were warned by William Branham. We were warned of money, we were warned of women, yet people have gone to those levels in the name of preaching the gospel. But that's why now the glory of God has departed, and the church has been left wondering where the God of their fathers is. But thank God, as much as the glory had departed, there was a Samuel whom God was working on. Come and judge his people Israel. But the question is, how much then will we, the spiritual Israel, recognize the ministry of Samuel? God bless you as we wait to continue tomorrow. May the grace of God be with you all. In Jesus' name, amen.